You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
People want to push their narratives for what they're doing.
Football show.
Hello everybody, my name's James, and for the benefit of those listening to the audio, you're listening to Ask James, my regular YouTube live stream, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related or anything non-football related if they like. Over the next hour or so, I'm going to try and answer as many of the dilemmas in the questions as possible. As usual, for those joining live on the stream, smash the like, hit the sub button. Questions will be answered, as usual, in order of submission. Firstly, let's start with the headline news this morning of the Champions League draw. Arsenal have drawn Bayern Munich and Manchester City have drawn Real Madrid. The winners of those two ties will meet in the semi-finals as well, which means Atletico Madrid, Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona are on the other side of the draw. For the second year in a row, the Champions League path to the final from the quarterfinals has a very lopsided look to it. Once we get information on Liverpool and West Ham's Europa League draw, I'll share that with you as well. That's due to be starting anytime now, I believe. On Ollie Watkins, Unai Emery's press conference today is at 2:30 p.m. Obviously, he's picked up a gash leg last night in Aston Villa's thumping win over Ajax in Europa Conference League. I suspect Emery is probably going to tell us they don't know if he'll be available. And I think that would be a truthful answer because it sounds like it's a cut. It just depends how that cut settles down when Watkins bends his leg, essentially. So I think the simple advice to most people is if you own him like I do, just play him and get on with it. And if you're free hitting, pick him and have a good first up. Right, let's get into the questions. MRCX says, hey, James, we're only 8 players for game week 29, of which Watkins is doubtful and Moreno's a rotation risk. And without Tony, should I free hit 29? Cheers. Well, I've got currently 8. I've got Watkins and I've got Pau Torres. So I'm in a very similar situation to you because Torres is obviously a risk as well. -4 for 2 players, take me up to 10. I might drop to 8. That's my intention. That injury last night didn't impact my thinking in terms of what I wanted to do at all. But it also is dependent in terms of how you'll sit for game week 30 and beyond as well. Might have an influence. For me, I'm likely to land quite well in game week 30 as I am. I don't need to. I think this is one where you just say, right, limit the damage. It's probably not a green arrow for me this week. And we move afterwards. So you sound like you're in a similar position for me. I'll be taking a -4, almost definitely for Tony and Madison. And we'll go from there. Lee Sherwood says, hi, James. I'm already -4 this week to get 9. That includes Ollie Watkins. Would you take another hit to remove Aki for Konsa if it allows you to avoid City and Arsenal defence in 30? So at the moment, it's probably a no. I'll tell you why. The defender I'd like to get is Malo Gusto. He's obviously not playing this week. So I'm more liable to take a -4 then, I think, than take that -4 now. What I would say on Konsa is I think that's the best of the picks from Villa. That's the one that I would have zero concerns about being a rotation risk. Was obviously suspended last night. So he's had a rest. You should have zero doubt there. They brought him straight back in when he came back from injury as well. So I'd be very confident in him. But a -4 for that now to play West Ham away, nah, I don't feel with joy. And I've kind of learned from my own experience of obviously taking a -4 for Kirkes last week, right? That didn't go so well. So that's possibly put the brakes on my ideas of doing that, I think. I've long stressed that I thought hits for attacking players in this week would be fine, but for defensive players, no. CM Punch 2310 says, hey, James, thoughts on the UCL draw? Kane and Dyer back in North London. Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting and interesting draw. I think there's every chance Arsenal will beat Bayern. They've obviously been unlucky with who they play in the semi-final as well. I mean, there's literally, in terms of three teams being on one side of the draw, it's obviously as bad as it could have been, basically, for Arsenal. But the same applies to the other three teams as well. So, look, if they get to the final with that draw, then you'd have to say they'll deserve to do so. My instinct is that they'll probably beat Bayern. I think the only team I would have definitively made favourites over Arsenal would have been Manchester City. I think even Real Madrid, they'd have a very good chance against. So, yeah, I think they'll have a good chance with Bayern. What also doesn't help Arsenal, of course, is first legs at home in both ties as well. That doesn't help. Bayern will have no fans at the Emirates in the quarterfinal first leg. They're banned following throwing of fireworks in their game against Lazio in the last 16. So that doesn't necessarily help the atmosphere, though, because it can be a weird atmosphere when everyone's supporting the same team. But I think Arsenal have every chance against Bayern. The semi-final is obviously going to be more difficult, even just from an experience point of view. City and Madrid know how to do the final hurdle, don't they? Arsenal don't. It's still an experience in terms of that level at this stage. So it's obviously a tough draw. I think they'll probably beat Bayern, I think, but it is a coin flip. MRCX says, on another note, how you feeling? Is the pain any better? All right, yeah, Sunday and the walking around Birmingham didn't help me too much. The patrons will know, very long walk after the game at Villa Park last week back towards the city. So I'll be at Fulham tomorrow, struggling probably. But yeah, I'm okay, mate. I have a huge amount of pain in my foot, but it's also nothing like the pain I was experiencing 3 weeks ago. It's manageable, let's say. Thank you for asking. JP says, thoughts on next year's Champions League format? Better games, but more fixtures and more injuries. We did a whole podcast on it on Tuesday, mate, so I'm kind of largely going to skip that off. We did a whole podcast on it on Tuesday. Lee Sherwood says, not a great Champions League draw for Spurs. Why? Why? Because there's more chance of the English clubs going out. I mean, Dortmund were going to be underdogs against whoever they played. And Bayern Munich, I've just said, I think there's every chance they might lose to Arsenal. So it's basically England and Germany in competition for that fifth place. Plus, anyway, mate, I've been over this a number of times. Like, I love Tottenham more than I hate them. But yeah, get them out. I don't want them to win that trophy. We take care of our own business and finish fourth. Just doesn't matter, mate. And we've obviously given ourselves a great chance of doing so following the result of Villa Park last week. So, no, it's a great draw for Spurs. You think I would have rather Arsenal got like Dortmund or something like that? No, mate, no. Give them as tough as it could have been. JP says, thoughts on England squad and no Barkley, White rejecting England. I've not looked into the Ben White thing too much yet. I know The Athletic have posted a piece that I haven't read yet in terms of explaining why White has decided he doesn't want to be in the squad. I mean, it's probably clear that Gareth Southgate wasn't going to call him up anyway. There's obviously some form of clash there behind the scenes, and it might be that Ben White makes himself available again once a new England manager is there. On Ross Barkley, no surprise. I think he's had a great season for Luton, but to an extent, I think he should be back in the England squad. No, not for me. And again, we did a pod on England last week, me and Clayton, in terms of what we'd like to see as the final Euro squad. The disappointment for me is that Kobbie Mainoo's not being looked at. Otherwise, pretty content with the squad that Gareth Southgate picked. Ilan Melchior says, hi, James, hope you're well. For a draft league, would you start Werner or Jimenez this week? Oof. Probably Werner. I wouldn't expect Jimenez to start, and I don't expect Werner to start either, but Werner's probably the more likely of the two. And has also shown, as per last week, he can make an impact on the game late as well. So it's probably Werner, mate. Adam says, initial thoughts on the UEFA Champions League draw, James. As an Arsenal fan, I don't have a problem with drawing Bayern. I think we win, but the semis is where it's going to be very tough. Arsenal to render Kane trophyless. Well, I think me and Clayton have been talking about this a lot in terms of, I've kept saying to him that I think if you've got Bayern, it's fine. Having the second leg away makes it a bit more difficult. But they've not been great. Admittedly, they've had their own injury problems this year as well. I don't know how many they'll get back in time for the quarterfinal, but I don't think there's much expectation that Bayern Munich were going to win the Champions League this season. So it was very much expected. And I think your thoughts kind of match up to what I've already said. FPL Pilkington says, hi, James. If you could only choose one more for the free hit, assuming you have Bowen already, would it be Kudos or Morris? Thanks. It's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if Luton score more than West Ham this week. It's probably Morris. I think a template, if there is going to be such a template front three, will still be Watkins, unless he's definitively ruled out today, Tony and Morris. That'll probably be it. Kudos probably doesn't form that midfield template. It's probably Morris. Morris is probably the right... I think Morris is the more sensible answer. I actually think Forrest will probably go to Luton and win tomorrow. So if it was me free hitting personally, I'd actually be going in for free, not in a Forest, and possibly avoiding Luton completely. Therefore, for me, kudos. But I think generally speaking, the more sensible advice would be to say go for Morris. MRCX says, in game week 31, would you rather get Salah in for Sonny, Saka or Salah in for Sonny, Saka or Bowen on -4? Okay, get it. So you can sell any of them from -4. It's probably Jared Bowen at that stage, I would have thought. I mean, Arsenal went home to Luton that night, so if you think that week, so if you think Saka's going to start, which there could be some Arsenal rotation that night, but if you think he's going to start, then I think bear in mind as well, I spoke about this on the chip pod a couple of weeks ago about the small minor possibility that Arsenal and Aston Villa gets postponed in game week 33. That's not likely unless UEFA decide to insist that Arsenal play on the Tuesday in the second leg of the Champions League. Can confirm, by the way, in Europa League, Liverpool have drawn Atalanta, first leg at home, and West Ham have drawn Bayer Leverkusen, second leg at home for West Ham. Go back to Lee's question, that's a worse draw for England than the Champions League draw, is West Ham getting Leverkusen. That was probably worst case scenario. Benfica, Marseille and Milan against Roma, Italian tie, makes up the Europa League draw. Completely lost train of thought there. So I think on Arsenal, sorry, that's what I was going to say. It's probably going to be, they play Sunday against City in game week 30, Wednesday Luton in game week 31, and then on the Saturday evening, game week 32, Brighton, then probably Bayern Munich on the Tuesday. That's highly likely to be Arsenal's schedule. Then a break to Villa on the Sunday, Champions League, second leg against Bayern Munich on the Wednesday. That's the most likely scenario. So you've got a period there where Arsenal are going to be 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. That Luton game is ripe for rotation, right? But that's going to be a more difficult sell. With Sonny, I think with Nottingham Forest at home in game week 32, if you're running through there, you're probably not going to want to sell. It's a case to say Sonny for captaincy in game week 32. As said, Arsenal go to Brighton, Liverpool go to Manchester United, Haaland goes to Palace. You've got Cole Palmer at Sheffield United as an alternative as well, but Sonny gives you a different option to perhaps Haaland in 32 as well. So I think by default, that's sell Bowen, isn't it? JP says, what three teams scores the most goals till the end of the Premier League, considering form, fixtures and players? City, Liverpool and Arsenal, mate. It's not really much reason to think it won't be them. FPL Pilkington says, is going double Brentford defence in Flecken and Reggie a bit overkill? What other goalkeeper would you say is worth considering instead, assuming you keep Reggie on? Thanks for all your work, mate. Well, I'm presuming that the majority of people with free hit will go at least one Brentford defensive, and it will probably be Reggie on or Flecken, and that might be determined by what Thomas Frank says to us. But we think Reguilon's back in training and it's fine. So I can see people going both. I can see people almost definitely going for one on free hit. However, the most owned goalkeeper in the game might not be Flecken this week. It might be Areola. I never realised when you look on Twitter, it looks like everyone's free hitting, but that's not quite the case. And I think those who have run through, for many, Areola will be the goalkeeper this week. So Areola is definitely one to consider. I think free hitters might be overlooking that they'll probably be, because of Areola, a decent ownership of West Ham defensive players this week. And I'm not suggesting that's the best choice. But if Watkins is out, that certainly makes his prospects a little bit better as well. So Areola, I think Vicario might even be the best choice of goalkeeper this week, but he's definitely not amongst the best three Tottenham options. So I can completely understand why people go Flecken. I think that probably is the best choice. Is it overkill to go with two defensively? No, because according to betting odds, they're the most likely team of the eight playing this week to keep a clean sheet. So from that perspective, it's perfectly reasonable. And I think because they're playing Burnley, there will be a desire to have free Brentford. And the only real alternative to double defensive is going Tony and Vissa. So I think people automatically fall into it. So no, it's fine, mate. I'm not comfortable with them defensively, by the way. But we've seen, like, for example, Bournemouth not play very well at Burnley and still keep a clean sheet. As said previously, they're not great in either penalty boxes, so I get it completely. Murphy says, hi, James. Currently have six playing with no free hit and one free transfer. Sonnen and captain is a given. Do I go Maddison and Tony in for a -8 or just one of them for a -4? It's probably all of it, mate. The quality of the player you're getting in there justifies it. If you break it down like this as well, you're getting Sonny into captain. That's him having him effective twice, plus Maddison and Tony. So it's effective of buying four players, really, particularly if Watkins was going to be your captain. Should pay for it in just in appearance points. So I think that's one where I'd say, yeah, go to -8. I've debated it. For me, getting a -8 probably means bringing in someone like Elanga, which I don't mind. I think he's probably even a great differential captaincy choice, arguably, this week. But he's a bit rogue. I don't know if anyone's really going to have the confidence to do that. That's probably the number one pick for me if I was to go there. It's also factoring in Forest's good fixture at home to Palace in game week 30. But for the three players you're getting in, Murphy, yeah, I think the -8's probably worth it. The majority of other people with free hit are going to have the rest of them. Certainly Tony and Son are going to be nearly every free hit team. I imagine Maddison will be in a lot as well. Hanny says, hi, James. What would be your favourite seven attackers in 29 free hit? For me, Watkins, as said at the top, I think should stay. And I think everyone should make sure they've got a good subs bench this week. There's no reason not to. I know people fear having the points on the bench, but it's better to have the points on the bench than nothing on the bench to help you out. And as I said, I don't think we get anything definitive on Watkins, and the game's not till Sunday, so it's probably not going to help. So I'd still go Watkins. I mean, for me, it'd be Watkins, Tony up front. In terms of a third forward, I'd possibly be tempted by Visser, actually, rather than Morris. I'd love to say a Forest forward, but I'm not certain who's going to start between Wood and Aouanier. So I think I'd probably be midfield five. And therefore, I think it would be Son, Maddison, Bowen. And I'd probably go Gibbs, White and Elanga, I think. So that would be the seven for me, with Watkins and then a decent first sub, which is going to be something like Visser or Morris. Ethan Justin says, afternoon, James, should I be hesitant in any way getting rid of Foden and Saka if I'm on wildcard game week 30? No, I mean, the only thing relevant to you is the value. So, for example, many of you know, I sold Saka a few weeks back. He went mental against West Ham. I reversed the decision. Because of that, I've not got huge value in him. I bought him back at 9. He's 9.1. He might even hit 9.0 by the time game week 30 comes around. So for me to sell him now, he's irrelevant. If you bought Saka at 8.5, that's naturally going to have a little bit of an impact on your decision-making. Similarly, what's the value you've got in Foden? If you're wildcarding in game week 30, essentially that's what your decision is. If you definitely know you're wildcarding in game week 30, it's a decision about value, not a decision about which player to sell. Vish says, I've got Senesi and Adams for 30, 34. Wildcard in 35. Shall I get rid of both ASAP or just one? Adams. Bloody hell's Adams. Tyler Adams at Bournemouth can't be. Who's Adams? Am I having a complete mind blank here? Who's Adams? I mean, yeah, get rid. I don't know who he is. Who's Adams? Senesi might be back for game week 30. Personal opinion is probably unlikely. So yeah, generally speaking, it's probably a bin. Nikolai says, morning, James. Got Kaminsky, Porro, Bayer, Emerson, Maddison, Son, William, Watkins and Morris. Shall I use free hit or risk it? So priority there is to buy Tony, I think. Defensively, you might be a little bit short. But you've got the rest covered up, really. So priority is Tony. Let's carry on, I think. In theory, you got 9 here. Tony is 10. Okay, yeah, there's a few. Watkins, Emerson, Bayer might miss out, but it's probably a carry on. Okay, so Ethan's corrected and said wildcard 31 now. So, yeah, I mean, who do you rather play in City Arsenal? Is it Foden or Saka? For me, the choice is Foden. But again, there is value representation to that as well. If you know you're going to wildcard in 31 and have Saka and you bought him at 8.5 and you've only just got on Foden, then it's probably sell Foden because it's close enough, isn't it? Yes, I'm well, Nikolai. Thank you, mate. Vish says, what are the top teams to target for 30 to 34 for transfers if wildcard 35? Well, can't definitively answer that because it's very dependent on the FA Cup results this weekend. But if they go as planned and then the projections work out as per my projections, then I think Manchester United, Newcastle will be top two to potentially go into. And I think that would be Newcastle first, then Manchester United. Also, don't ignore Chelsea over that period, I would say, is pretty important. And obviously, if Chelsea lose on Sunday, they'll definitely double in 34 and would go to the top of the list. I think Everton for enablers, possibly not so attractive going up to that period. But in terms of Burnley at home 32, Forest at home 34, there's definitely some use you could use there for rotation with someone, if looking at someone like Brathwaite. Tottenham is a move on after 32. So I think Tottenham to Manchester United in game week 33, if United doubled in 34, would be popular. I can definitely see at that point people going Son to Fernandes or Rashford, irrespective of what their form is and stuff. So there's a few teams for you. But as mentioned on our Patreon podcast this morning, like if Newcastle win at Manchester City tomorrow night, the whole outlook is going to change dramatically if that eventuality happens. CM Punk 2310 says, providing no injuries, when would you replace, would you replace in game week 30 for Salah, Foden, Son or Gordon? Palmer and Saka going nowhere for me. So are you not going to sell Son before Luton at home? I mean, if he does well again this week, I think Son might even be the most kind of engaged player, captain player in game week 30, actually, maybe even more so than Mo, because that would be really difficult to sell. As just mentioned, Newcastle got a good run over that period, so don't necessarily want to get rid of Gordon. Palmer, as you obviously said, is going nowhere. It's possibly Foden with reluctance then. Hanny says, Tony is a risky captaincy question. I think if you'd have gone back 4 or 5 weeks, most of us would have probably thought we'd get here and be captain Tony. And those who want to do so is absolutely fine, right? They're playing one of the weakest teams in the league. There's Hall capability there. So for me, he's probably, as it stands, the second best choice behind Sonny this week. Is it risky to captain Tony? Not particularly. It's probably more risky, to answer your question, probably more risky not to captain Son is how it's beginning to look. Simon Kurtz says, hi, James. Has Matty got back to you with what the score is yet? No, I don't think so. I think he was probably quite pleased at that point towards the end of the game. He was on the other side of the pitch because he was getting dogs abuse. Gavin Richardson says, TFI Friday, James, have you heard UEFA's estimate for next year's Champions League draw? 4 hours, they're going to automate it and probably try and screw the EPL teams. Why would they try and screw them? Why? Yes, we discussed on Tuesday's pod, how would they do the draw? Surely it would take so long. It sounds like it's going to be perhaps one team pulled out of a hat and then it will just randomise everything from there and it will be quite a short process then done by a computer. It'd be way too long to do it automatically, to draw every fixture and stuff. So, no, I don't know how they're going to do it. Will it be something you can watch online while the computer works it out or something? I'm not sure, because I still think it needs to be done in live and real time, because of that, you know, you're saying, oh, they'll screw the Premier League teams. We'll be plenty of things. Oh, the Premier League teams will get favours and stuff. So I still think something needs to be live somehow, even if it's the computer working it out. So I don't know how they're going to do it. It is a failure in the procedure of the groupings, if you will, that people won't get to see it live necessarily. I need to think about that. And I bet they've only just started thinking about it. Jerry Domeyu says, hi, James. Hope you and your family are well. Since I'm not free hitting in 29, would you do a stupid hand to Porro or Dominic Solanke to Tony? I did Neto to Mads already. That's obviously Pedro Neto with my free transfer. Good luck this game. We can take care. You too, mate. Priority would be Tony for me. That said, I don't know what the rest of your defence looks like. And he might look a mess for game week 30. And I think Porro is a rare one where if he's going to be really good for you for 30 and perhaps 32 as well, then there could be some justification in taking a hit there. And Destiny Doggy might also fall into that category as well. Alex Allegretta says, have a good weekend, James. You too, my friend. CM Punch 2310 says, fixture dependent, of course. If we go as per your predicted fixtures for 34, 35, 37, do you think there might be merits of a 33 wildcard instead of a 35 wildcard? Yes, possibly. My idea at the moment is to wildcard in game week 31, but it were definitely things that can change that. And looking at 33, even for me, because I don't have the bench boost, even 34 in itself, I might wildcard in 34 and free hit 37. There's lots of different avenues for me at the moment. And I think getting in just before the Newcastle-Manchester United doubles, if those happen, and you're obviously avoiding Manchester United's fixtures against Chelsea and Liverpool, could be a good play. And reminder, as per that chip pod as well, the two Uniteds have Burnley and Sheffield United at home respectively in game week 35 as well. See, a lot of people looking at free hit 34, which is fine based on the projections. Don't you want a lot of that for 35 as well? It doesn't get any better than Burnley and Newcastle at home. I'd arguably want six of them more than I would for the double week, maybe. I don't know. Neither with European commitments. Interesting. That said, it would be a weekend after they've had a midweek fixture. Do you get some rotation? You can spin that narrative either way. But yeah, plenty of different ways to skin this. It's always the same, right? People want to push their narratives for what they're doing with strategies. I know when I do the chip pods, everyone wants to say, oh, what's the best strategy, James? Well, judge your team and let's talk it through. And I haven't really got time to be looking at everyone's team. But what's right for me isn't necessarily right for you. And people want to push, you know, free hit now or don't free hit now. And people feeling like, you know, they can't change a free hit now. You want a free hit now? Free hit now. Like, it's fine. Like, everyone's got slightly different teams and stuff. For me, it's just not justifiable to free hit this week. That doesn't mean that's the case for you, right? Most of you will have bench boost still for the end, right? So my strategy is going to be different to a lot of you. I say it all the time and people hate it, but it is play it your own way. Jerry Dama Yu says, if Shaw can't make it to the Euros with his injury, do you see Gomez as starting left back or Trips like during Euro 2020? Between Curtis Jones, Gallagher and Minor, who's the best Rice partner? Okay, so two different questions there. I think in the first instance, Southgate would be more likely to favour Trips. But I said on that podcast I did with Clates 10 days ago, we both would definitely take Joe Gomez. And I regretted not speaking Curtis Jones on that podcast because those who listen to me regularly will know I've been pushing for a while to actually get him in the England squad. He was on the list of names to mention. A different question came up and it got overlooked. But I discounted him from my final squad purely because of the injury he's got at the moment and thinking, obviously, he won't make this one, which has proved to be the case. I don't see him getting his first call up directly before the tournament. That also now applies to Kobe Minor as well, Jerry. So by default, the answer is he's going to be Gallagher. The one thing Gallagher obviously does have is that high intensity work rate. Should be great for tournament football. In terms of his best partner, my personal opinion at the moment is it's Trent. From that group, he doesn't really feel like there's much point in answering that question. I think by default, the answer is going to be Gallagher. My personal opinion would have been, if it was up to me, would have been, let's see Kobe Minor play with him. That's what I would have liked. Gavin Richardson says, do you think that the Champions League draw is better for the UK teams and their coefficients? No. No, it's not better. But the English teams are strong. The West Ham drawing by Leverkusen is not good, right? West Ham obviously beat a German team last night. This time, they're playing Leverkusen, right? They're obviously going to be big underdogs. That's more of a problem than the Champions League draw. But it's still very much in the English club's hands because I would have think, even to project before the draw, we wouldn't have projected West Ham to go through. We would have projected Bayern to go through. We'd project Liverpool to go through. Arguably, the projection for the four Champions League semi-finalists would have been the four that's all landed on the same side of the draw. So yeah, sure, it's bad for Arsenal and City, perhaps for the coefficient. It's also bad for Bayern Munich. And as said, whoever Dortmund were going to draw, Dortmund were going to be underdogs against. So I don't think it matters too much. Tom Skinner says, hey, James, on free hit this week, would you pick one team and go all in on their defence or spread the risk reward of picking one defensive asset per team, not blown away by any of the defence? No. One of the things I speculated on one of the bits of the content we did this week was if Arsenal and Chelsea had gone ahead, I think most people would have been on sort of like double Arsenal defence and perhaps Porro this week and with Flecken in goal. I think that would have been so template and obviously Saka on top of that as well. That would have been so template for a free hit team. But no, I don't foresee any team keep the clean sheet this week. So I certainly wouldn't want to go big. I completely understand the double Brentford's going around. And I also don't mind double Tottenham. Purely if people want to go Porro and Udogi and Son and want to go alternatives to Madison, perhaps want to go Forest defensive players or something like that, that I don't mind. I think it's only Brentford or Tottenham There's no way you'd go free of any of them, is there? I don't think. Nah, you couldn't anyway because of Tony and Son. So, no, nah, it's not on the table. Ivalio Giakov says, Gibbs-White or Elanga not on free hit. There's a little bit more risk in Elanga, but that's the way I would go. I think there's a little bit more upside in him. His underlines and his returns have been pretty good this season. Luton clearly have vulnerabilities in terms of in behind them. I think Elanga can expose that. It might well be it's Gibbs-White finding him, by the way. So yeah, really like Anthony Elanga. Good fixture in game week 30. That would be the preference for me. Also, Nuno did make some quotes, which I saw one FPL News, great Twitter account to follow, had shared earlier today when Nuno was saying that they had a specific structure to try and close the game in central areas against Brighton. And there was a particular tactical idea behind that, which you'd have to say, as they lost 1-0 to a set-piece goal, largely was effective for them. So, yeah, I fully expect Elanga to be back in the team tomorrow, and that would be my preference. James Brennan says, would you hate double Spurs defence on free hit with Udogie and Poro? Midfield would be Kudus, Son, Elanga, Burin and Paqueta if fit. Thanks. There's a perfect example. Like, I don't mind that. If that's the preference of what you want to go with rather than Madders, yeah, he's fine. Joe Pickle says, early Champions League predictions, assuming you've seen the draw. Manchester City final against one of PSG or Atletico Madrid. One of that. That's, if you ask me, but it's tough. Even for City, it's so tough to have to beat Madrid and then one of Bayern or Arsenal. I guess the real beneficiaries, I mean, we're talking about beneficiaries for coefficients and stuff. The real beneficiary from that Champions League draw, surely, is Liverpool because of the intensity of those games that City and Arsenal have got to have. Joe Pickle says, that's what we've done. Gavin Richardson says, also think you must be a mind reader as I researched the new Champions League format last week and enjoyed that podcast. Do you think the extra two group games potentially affect double game week 34 next year? No, the biggest impact, and I haven't seen the full schedule for next year in terms of the Premier League dates. I think, I'm pretty sure Ben Crellin's already posted it somewhere, actually. I'm pretty sure. If you ask Ben, I'm pretty sure he's got a spreadsheet of next season already. Of course he does. He must do. It's more the impact of the cup competitions that they need to work out, right? There's two Champions League group stages. Sorry, let me rephrase that. There's two Champions League match days in January next year. Right. So you just think about that logically. In January, right? It's four midweeks in January. You're going to, currently the EFL are saying they want to still have two leg semi-finals. I think that will become one. Also, where are you putting FA Cup third and fourth round replays? It just doesn't exist. It's not possible. They've got to work it out with the domestic cup competitions first and foremost. And that's something we've covered. We did a pod on Patreon a couple of weeks ago talking about the future of the League Cup, which I think most of you would find interesting. Who's next? Ruben Villa says, hey, James, is Tony a must to own? I have one free transfer. I can do Solanke to Tony. I don't have Palmer or Salah. Minus eight down the line to get Haaland as well. Is Tony worth it? Can you take him on? Sure. Would I say he's one of the required players this week? Yeah. Yeah, I would. I think logically speaking, most people buying like me are going to buy him, and nearly everyone on free hit is going to have him. So the ownership's going to be pretty big. If you don't think he returns, take him on. But I would say he's one of the kind of the core five. And to be honest, that arguably becomes a four if Watkins is ruled out that I'd want to have. And one of them's a little bit dodgy in terms of it's probably Maddison or Porro. Probably at least one of them for those who are running through, I think you're going to want rather than just Sonny. So, look, you know me, I don't like to say any player's essential. If you believe he blanks this weekend, then of course he's not worth it, is he? But it might burn. Jerry Dharma Yu says, do you see Tony as, is this a must, the same question, do you see Tony as a must pick or non-29 free hitters like me since Brentford have juicy offensive fixtures toward the end of the season, or hold to Solanke with Bournemouth double later on? One key point on tomorrow on that. So one of the things I'd explained was, so I'm probably selling Solanke for Tony. If Watkins is definitively ruled out of this week, if Emery says, no, it's definitely out, no chance, I'm going to sell Watkins instead. I have to be 100% sure of that, no chance. But I would sell Watkins instead. And that's, for me, wildcarding in 31. To have the confirmed Solanke fixture against Everton and not know if Watkins is available, be better off keeping Solanke under that circumstance. Here's a really, really key thing to consider. The majority of projections going around, I think, have Wolves and Bournemouth to go into game week 34. Now, mine has it currently for game week 37. However, should Coventry beat Wolves tomorrow, I'll be advising for that to move to game week 34. And Wolves and Coventry kicks off tomorrow at 12:15. When the FPL deadline strikes tomorrow, we should be about 55 minutes into the Wolves-Coventry game. Now, to know at that point definitively that Wolves are going to go is unlikely, but I don't know. Let's just say Coventry were 3-0 up, for example. And that would then, in my opinion, increase the possibility of Bournemouth and Wolves doubling in 34. That might be an influence on your decision. It might be. Be aware of that early kickoff tomorrow before the 1:30 FPL deadline. There might be something in it that affects one of your transfers. So consider that. Consider that for tomorrow if that sort of thing is potentially going to affect your decision. But remember, you won't definitively know. Unless, of course, you know, flip it the other way. Wolves are 4-0 up. Fine, you know. But then, you know, still a lot of people think that Wolves-Bournemouth will go into 34. Now, under that circumstance, Wolves wouldn't double, right? But Bournemouth would. So bear that in mind. Bear that in mind. Personally, I think from that, yeah, get Tony in. Deal with the immediate in front of you. Tony, by the way, I think is a player who might largely be overlooked for the running because they haven't got any doubles. We know that. And we spoke on yesterday's Clash of Correspondence, the idea about Watkins being expendable from game week 31, which will be tough, right? He's been the highest scoring player in the game, but there's a case for it. With Tony, then Brentford fixtures. I know 30 to 32 isn't brilliant, but I'll tell you what, 33 to the end is. And I wonder if those bench boosting in 37 will obsess over it enough that they just ignore him. I think he'll be of interest to me, Ivan Tony. Got eyes on. And also having him. The thing is as well, for me, if I ended up with him and then Solanke with Haaland as my front three going into game week 30, I might even then be more of a position where I can push that wild card back beyond game week 31 possibly as well. So that's why for me, preference would be sell Watkins. But in terms of, to go back to your point of getting Tony, yeah, generally, I would get it done. James Wright says, smash the like, everyone. Who do you think will win the Prem and any FA Cup upsets? Put it for the weekend. I fancy Leicester. Who do I think will win the Prem? I think the logical answer is still City, but all three teams got a great chance. In terms of the FA Cup this weekend, no, not anticipating Sharks. The one, ironically, I said this on our Patreon pod this morning, the one that I think is possibly most at jeopardy for the favourites, and the favourites being the two Manchester clubs, Chelsea and Wolves, might actually be Wolves at home to Coventry. Obviously short of a few players in offensive areas at the moment. They will pick a strong team. There's no doubt about that. But I think that's the one. It'll be a good sort of 5,000 or so at Molineux in the way in tomorrow. That's the one, might be a little bit of risk. Leicester have hit a little bit of the skids recently where, you know, suddenly Leeds and Ipswich are really breathing down their necks, actually. They're one winning four or so in the Championship, I think. When most people thought they were going to run away with it. So I think Chelsea will have too much for them. Manchester United can obviously impact Liverpool as well. But I just think that the absence of Martinez and a couple of others for United might prove a bit too much. Would be a boost for United if Hoyland was back available. I've not heard any word on that as yet. I think Liverpool win. The way Newcastle give up chances, it's difficult to foresee Newcastle getting through at City tomorrow night. James Wright says, one more from Gavin Richardson first. In fact, there's one more from Jim, sorry. Jim says, hello, Jamesy. My chief dilemma this week is whether to take a hit to bring in Maddison for Saka or Porro for Zabani. Which would see me doubled up in the Spurs defence with the U-Dog? Your opinion? Possibly depends on your three other defenders for 30, right? So you're probably happy to play Zabani and Udogi in game week 30, I imagine. Have you got another one that you're quite happy with? That might influence the decision. But otherwise, I think, no, I'd prefer the Maddison move personally. Gavin Richardson says, are you West Ham in disguise? Were you chanting that last week at Villa? Yes, 100%. 100%, mate. James Wright says, better two-week punt for a minus four. Muniz, Visser or Morris, or just keep Solanke? I think over the two, Visser. I think, yeah. Although subject to what you've got is a case maybe just to keep Solanke rather than that. I think most people would say Morris, but you said specifically over the 2 weeks. Morris goes to Tottenham in 30. Like, how much do you want that? Greg Frost says, no question, just loving the chaos of the Watkins potential injury. Best of luck all. David Toff says, what percentage of your working hours do you think are on camera versus off camera? Fuck. It's a blinding question. This is going to be terrible for the audio. I'm trying to work out numbers in my head. Let's say, average 2 to 2.5 hours a day once you factor in the patron content. Yeah, it feels about right. I don't know, sort of maybe then deadline stream as well. About 13, 14 hours a week in terms of physically in front of a microphone, if you will. So what percentage? About 20, I suppose. Roughly. You do. Yeah, I don't stop. Steve says, hi, James. Can't make tomorrow's deadline stream and just joined. What are your thoughts on Duran instead of Morris? Should Watkins miss out on a free hit and will have no internet? So setting up team later. Yeah, Duran and Diaby will both perhaps quite quickly appeal. I think Diaby definitely starts if Watkins is definitively ruled out. I'm not certain that's the case for Duran. I'd also be a little bit concerned of his minutes. Remember, he's obviously had his own injury problems recently. It might even be dependent on Jacob Ramsey's fitness as well. I'm thinking about what they do deeper. So I could see what Tielemans and Diaby kind of be in the front too if Watkins is definitely ruled out. I think it's dangerous. If Ramsey's ruled out, there's more chance of Tielemans then playing perhaps in a deeper role again. So now enough to free hit him in. No, probably not. I'd argue maybe more be keen suddenly on Diaby maybe. I think both carry a little bit too much of an element of risk, particularly when you can have Bailey, Louise. It feels more like one, which forward, right? That's probably what that is. Rather than necessarily wanting Duran over perhaps the Villa midfielders, you want a different forward. I get that. I don't think Duran would be the one for me. Trini says, hi, James. I have 10 players without free hit as I wildcard in 28. However, Watkins is one of these. Should I do Watkins to Tony or just leave it? Initial plan was to roll this week. It depends what Emery says, doesn't it? Let's be honest about it. If Emery says he's got a chance, you're not selling him. And again, to repeat, for free hitters, I think unless Emery says he's out, you should get him on free hit and you should start him and have the cover. Because he probably either plays or doesn't rather than is a substitute or plays 20 minutes. It's more likely he starts or doesn't at all than gets the 20 minutes, for example. So I think it's, you don't want to sell him. I think if free hitters, imagine if you're free hit this week and you go without him and he starts and he does well. Oof. Nah, you wouldn't want none of that. So if he's definitively ruled out, Trini, yeah, make the move. Otherwise, yeah, I'd leave it be, I think. Charles says, hi, James. What would you choose between Vissa and Tony? Vissa stays in centre and have 3 goals in 3 games. Tony has set pieces, pen, and played behind Vissa without return recently. Yeah, but they could also change to a 4-3-3 tomorrow. I don't think they will, but it's something we speculated on our Brentford Slack channel with our patrons, actually, that, yeah, they might do. They might go to a 4-3-3. Vissa on one side, Lewis Potter on the other because of the opponent. And then suddenly Tony's by miles the better choice, I think, under that circumstance. Now, I don't think they will do that. I think they probably will still play a back three, but they might do that. For me, it's still Tony all day long. FPL Kratos says, hi, James, hope you're well. You alluded to the fact that if you were on free hit, you would have 3 Forest players. I assume one would be a Langer. Who would be the other two be? I'm on free hit and I had similar thoughts. Gibbs White and Nico Williams would be the other two for me, mate. Rob says, who's the dodgiest pen taker this week then, do you reckon? That's the free hit keeper to target, in my opinion. Wow. So not Trafford. it's probably Leno then. Yeah, legitimately. If that's your thought process, it's probably Leno. Yeah, Martinez is obviously good in terms of saving pens, if you want to look at it from that perspective. who would take for Forest. We're not sure if it's what Gibbs White or Wood. I suppose it depends on the team. Morris is a good pen taker. Pacatar is probably good for West Ham. We know Douglas Luiz is a good pen taker for Villa. Yeah, it's probably Son, and therefore, if you genuinely picking your keeper on that, it's Leno. Gary Richardson says, having some wildcard 30/31 goalkeeper dilemmas. Really want Pickford, but I'm unsure which budget keeper would rotate best and be good for a bench boost later. Perhaps a question for next week, we think. Yeah, maybe so. I think Onana might be one that grows in popularity, actually, particularly subject to what we might hear on Nick Pope over the coming weeks. I think that might be one. If you look at it now as well, based on my projections, you've got Onana double 34, you've got Pickford double 37. The real answer we'd love to tell you is the Chelsea goalkeeper. If one of them got injured for the rest of the season, it's everyone on wildcard would steam into the other one, I think. We just haven't really got enough confidence in it. Like, we probably think Sanchez starts tomorrow, but it's the cup. And Petrovic has done pretty well. And I'd hate to go down that route. And then there's also the fact of, well, what if Chelsea don't do well in the next few game weeks and their season becomes irrelevant? Do they then just chop and change them? Yeah, that would be the ideal third Chelsea choice. But don't think you can. So I think Onana might be one that comes into thinking for you. Dubravka, if Pope wasn't going to be back, but to be honest, doesn't save much. So I think that will come clearer for you over the next 14 days or so. Excuse me. Frugal Frostbite says, I'm wildcarding 30, not bringing Haaland back. My team can be incredible without him. He's too much money. Okay. Shafwan says, hi, James. Would you bring in Madison for a hit? Excuse me, for Saka. And then reverse the transfer for a hit in 31, wildcard in 28. Yeah, it could do, potentially. Yeah, it might be the sort of thing I end up doing. Ryan says, hi, James. Bowen, Kudos, or Elanga for a -4. Playing in game at 29 and 30, then wildcard 31. Don't reckon Tottenham, Fulham to be high scoring game. So not bringing in another Tottenham midfielder other than Son. Cheers. From your choices, my preference genuinely would be Anthony Elanga. But nah, he says that. I've already got Bowen. It'd be Bowen for me, mate. Just okay, but he might end up back out wide. He's such a consistent animal. Bowen for me still. Yeah, no, if I didn't have Jared Bowen with that choice, yeah, it'd be Bowen. Steve says, hi, mate, hope all's well. On free hit, play 3-4-3 or 3-5-2. Cheers. The answer is play 3-4-3. Keep Watkins in your... play 3-5-2. Keep Watkins in your lineup. I would be 3-5-2, I've already said, with like a Visser or a Morris as first sub. That's what I think I'd be doing. Darren Ashman says, hello, mate. Is it a good idea to ignore Brentford defence and go with Zouma and Areola instead of Reguilón and Flecken? How many minutes did Zouma get last night? If it was 90, that would concern me. If you fancy West Ham, you go for it, mate. But as covered earlier, I don't think any of us are massively keen on double defence from anyone this week. Gavin Richardson says, on Newcastle beating Man City, no chance, unfortunately. Although in 12-13, Pardew put out a fifth-round League Cup team away there, led by Rolando Ahrens and Ryan Taylor, and we won 2-0. It's the hope that kills you. Yeah, it is. It's a cup game. Madness can happen. Gazman says, hi, James, on a free hit, please pick one from Kudos, Morgan, Gibbs, White, Elanga, or Louise. Good luck this week. From that list, Elanga. Craig Boy Crook says, hello, James. You beat us. We look dead, but buried just yet. he says, up the Villa. Play it your way. He's spot on, by the way. Thank you, Craig. Listen, and I've bantered Villa a little bit this week, but I've bantered partly as discussed at the end of COTC yesterday, partly because of in admiration. Villa fans kept telling us all year, treat us seriously. So we're treating you seriously by bantering. Still very much in your hands, right? He says, technically, that's not true, but kind of is. Big Phil says, Udogie or Porro on free here. I know Porro has the stats, but Udogie impressed me more every time I watched him play. We've spoken about this a bit recently. I mean, the money's irrelevant this week if I'm free here. The pricing just doesn't matter. It's just one player or the other. The preference is it's always just slightly with Pedro, I think, for me. Destiny was really good on Sunday in that second half against Villa. It was his best performance for some time, actually. It's still just Porro for me, personally. David Tillstone says, hi, James, I can get 9 with a -8, giving me Areola, Cash, Porro, Son, Madison, Bowen, or Alanga, Barkley, Tony, and Watkins if fit. What are your thoughts on this versus a free hit? So you're on 6, I'm guessing, at the moment. I mean, the 9 is perfectly reasonable, right? You've covered up all your bases there, basically. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. But it does depend what you're taking that -8 for, right? Like if you're taking that -8 for Areola, Cash and Barkley, then no, just free hit. If you're taking it for Tony, Son, Madison or Bowen, then yeah, I think it's perfectly reasonable. FPL Big Lick says, hi, matey. Sat at 3.2K overall. Nice. Says 5 to play this week with 1 free chance. And won't save free hit until later. Thoughts. And play up Sky Blues this weekend versus Wolves. Good luck. Enjoy it. Gosh, very reluctant to tell someone at that rank based on a 4-line question whether they should free hit or not. Look, you know if you don't, you lose this week, right? You know that. You know that, well, highly likely anyway. But how bad can the damage be with what you've got? That's the big one, right? You're sitting there with 5 and you've got no Son, no Tony, all that jazz has spoken about before. And I think it's free hit, isn't it? If you've got your core, I wouldn't stress about it too much. Like, you know, if Brentford kick clean sheet, how bad can it truly be? Even though we know there'd be people out there going double, is it going to hurt you bad enough? Where do you see the advantages later in the season? How will you set up for game week 30 and later on? Have you used your wild card? Haven't you? There's so many elements there that that's really, really difficult to answer because you need to, particularly near your rank, you need to weigh up, right? You're going to lose this week, but how badly? And can the game be better later on for something else? That's, on the face of it, it's so difficult just to say, yeah, do it, don't. Personally, I mean, if you've got 5, it's probably free hit, personally. But consider your options. Joey Kneecap says, James, do you think the Premier League gets to keep its winter break next season with a new Champions League format? I mean, yeah, exactly. There's this as well. So I've already said there's 2 available midweeks in January next year, which presumably is going to have to be for League Cup semi-finals and we abolish FA Cup replays. What if we don't abolish FA Cup replays? In any case, if we have the cup competition, there's no winter break for anyone who gets to a League Cup semi-final. So, like, I don't know how they're going to play that. They might be able to play it that they have, you know, teams who play in Europe play on the weekend before Europe and have maybe the weekend off before. And everyone who's playing a game that doesn't involve a team in Europe plays then that weekend before. And TV companies ain't going to love that because then you've got none of the big clubs playing on one particular weekend. It's not going to go down well. I don't know. My understanding is the intention is to keep it. Good luck working out how that's going to look. NEKXYC says, hi, James, hope you're doing well. What are your thoughts on taking on Tony with Muniz as provides better long-term structure for me? Might end up getting both for a hit if Watkins is out. You have to consider that Muniz's place is beginning to be under threat. I do think he'll start tomorrow, but Jimenez is going to be close, subject to what Marco Silva says. And we know that Breuer's sitting there waiting to play at any time, right? So if it works out for your structure better and you don't need the player, i.e., you know, you've used your bench boost, for example, cool, crack on. But a personal preference there would be to stick with Tony, mate. You can restructure that afterwards, I think. You might find that you get towards sort of 33 and you're moving like an 8 million midfielder to something like Garnacho as an example and restructuring that way. Jovan Kanija says, Decky on Madison. For me, it's Madders, mate. I had a discussion with Clayton on our Patreon pod this morning about Kulusevski versus Johnson. And one of the things that add to what I said on Monday's pod about being really confident that Johnson starts tomorrow, and I still am. What we weren't aware of when we did that pod on Monday was that Werner had a little bit of a slight problem going into the game, which is essentially why he didn't start. Now, I think Johnson took his opportunity and should stay in. But I think if you're buying as well, it's probably Kulusevski over Johnson, not over Madison for me, no. Madison over Kulusevski, Kulusevski over Johnson. If you're buying for 2 weeks only, i.e. wildcard in 31, if it's just the 1 week, I still don't mind going Johnson over Kulusevski. I think it's the real... There's an element of risk in it, but I think it's the real one that could pay as a differential attacking player this week. Glenn Openshaw says, hi, James. When's the best time to wild card? And what teams should we be targeting regarding double game weeks? The best time to wild card, mate, is really dependent on who's in your team, isn't it? All right. So for many people, it's going to be game week 30. I'm hopefully going to be set up quite well for game week 30 if I avoid injuries and stuff. Therefore, for me, it's 31. But it might be, particularly if I end up selling Watkins later today because he's definitively out for a couple of weeks, it might be then that I look at 31 and go, well, quite happy with 31 as well. I've got Tony at home to Brighton, and I've got Solanke, checks notes, at home to Crystal Palace, with Haaland at home to Villa. What different front three am I wildcarding to? And then it becomes later, right? There isn't a... can't stress it enough. There isn't a... this is best. This is, there's a what's best for you. It completely depends on your teammate and what you want to do with your chips. You've got bench boost, you've not got bench boost. FPL developer says, Mr. Morris. I'm going to say yes. Neil Kagan would like everyone to hit the like button. Thank you, Neil. MRCX says, what are your top five favourite Tottenham midfielders of all time? Dembele. Are you asking central? I'm going to assume that's a central, so I'm going to exclude wide players. Dembele, Gascoigne, Modric. Those three, clear miles away of everybody else. The rest. Controversial one, maybe, because it was a short period, but I'm going to say Michael Carrick. He was just outstanding for 18 months. It was so good. Favourites isn't necessarily best, is it? I liked Big Tom. When Big Tom was at it, he had a really good period in the kind of mid to late noughties when he was coming through. I really liked Tom Huddleston. I don't think that's the right answer. You know, you could arguably make a case, say Bentancourt, Bissouma, or Sarr might all become it. I mean, Sarr, from nowhere going into pre-season, he's in contention to be our player of the year, I think. Phenomenal season. But I think that the first three I mentioned, that's clear. I think then Michael Carrick. Then the rest, I need to think about it a bit more, I think. Yeah, I think Carrick fourth. And then fifth's tough. Could be a list of about 10 names. I mean, even say people like David Howes, I really liked when I was a kid. It wasn't the best aesthetically and stuff, but he was a Tottenham boy, loved the club, came through the youth ranks and stuff. I feel like every midfielder we had centrally between the late 90s and the mid-noughties must have been horrendous before sort of like Edgar Davids and Carrick. Edgar is in contention. We never saw the best of him. Certainly not. Even for people like Wilson Palacios was absolutely outstanding for us in the 09-10 season. Yeah, definitely Modric, Dembele, Gascoigne, clearly comfortably ahead of the rest. Brad McKenzie says, hi, James. Which Premier League side would field the most English-born players on average? Christ on a stick. I don't know, mate. Luton? Burnley? Arsenal? I'm not sure, mate. Gavin Richardson says, thanks for another great stream. Loving the Patreon content too. Cheers, pal. I've been on it today as I'm coffeed up. Have a great weekend. And away the lads. Good luck, pal. I'm going to cover three more. N-E-K-X-Y-C says, thanks for the answer, James. For the future, it's pronounced as Nexic. Sorry, mate. Nexic. I will try and remember that. Please correct me if I get that wrong again, mate. Nexic. Thank you, mate. Have a good weekend. James C100 says, hi, James. Thanks for your advice. Got a much-needed 1 million rank increase with Bartley new doggy bench boost. Thank you. Good luck, mate. You pressed the button. I didn't. Pretty sure I said I didn't like bench boost in game at 28. So there you go. And finally, Goonsy says, hey, James, do you think Solanke to Tony for a -4 is worth it? I already have 5 good attackers this game week. Well, I'm highly likely doing it. So I've got to say yes, mate. Thanks very much for everyone who contributed in the stream. Smash a like, hit the sub button. If you want to support the show, a reminder, it's www.patreon.com/planetfpl. Do it because you want the additional content or because you want to support the show and the free content and streams like this. Next week's content isn't definitively finalized as yet, but I can tell you, obviously, it'll be Game Week Review podcast on Monday, and Clash of Correspondents will almost certainly be on Tuesday next week, and that'll be Chelsea versus Burnley with Gary Mantle and Jack Toner. Deadline stream tomorrow goes ahead at 12:30 p.m. UK time, exclusive to the Planet FPL YouTube channel. It just leaves me to say thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Hope your arrows are green. And for the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please. Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.